Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. In his message titled, How to Be Together, Reverend David Williams tells us that our human life seems hard when we don't obtain all of the worldly things that society tells us are important. But God has told us that what is important is providing love and grace to others. If we can do this, our lives become more satisfying and the world becomes a better place. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. Life can be challenging. It can be difficult getting all the things done that we need to do. It can be difficult applying our abilities to the world in such a way that things happen as they need to happen. Each of us have our own vocations to which we apply our energies. We have our studies to which we apply our energies. And in all of that, we work to develop our skills, our gifts, our abilities, so that we might succeed. The challenge as we do that, though, is it's easy to focus so much on developing functionality that we lose the point of it. We focus so much on the achievement itself that we forget about its purpose. And when we do that, we might get things done. But we can also do a lot of damage to our own souls and to those around us. So right now, let's admit that we struggle with that. But sometimes it wears us down or makes us cynical. As we pray through this, I'll note that there is a fragment in there. I don't know where that came from. So don't go resigned and empty. Avoid that. Let's skip straight to none in the prayer. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious and almighty God, our journey through life is not always an easy thing. We slog through and can feel worn down day after day. Unexpected impacts can suddenly shatter and break us. In response, we become brittle and angry, or cynical and apathetic, or resigned and empty. None of these responses are drawn from the strength that you offer us. None of these responses draw us towards your healing and joy. Forgive us, gracious one, for not opening ourselves in faith to your Spirit. In Christ's name, please forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn?
Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us,
and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. You can follow along on page 162 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen for God's word. Paul writes, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. And if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this, you'll heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't watch a lot of television. In fact, I watch pretty much none. But I especially don't watch reality television. I don't, because, you know, when I want to experience a bunch of drama queens sniping and undercutting each other, I just read about national politics. But there's some reality TV that's different. It's different than that formula we're all familiar with. Like, let's find the most incompatible, dysfunctional people we can and put them together and then stir them up a little bit. There's other ways to do that. And, you know, I think the British have a different way of doing that. They didn't get that memo from Central Programming, the one that said that what human beings most enjoy watching is other human beings being catty. Does anyone watch that British baking show? Yes. It's different. It's not the same thing. I mean, it's sometimes a little stressful, but it's naturally occurring stress. There's not that encouragement for people to claw to the top to win. There's not this inflicting on them of absolutely unreasonable deadlines or saying you've got to make something with absurd ingredients. I mean, American shows are like, you've got 20 minutes to make a meringue that includes this ostrich egg, these two ghost peppers, and this roadkill possum. Go. In Britain, they bake. The show is 97% about baking rather than 97% about manufactured drama. And the contestants aren't mean to each other. They seem actually kind of supportive of one another. And it's so chill. It's so polite. Like, it's almost Canadian. And so I recently read this interesting piece about a reality show that BBC executives came up with just about more than a couple decades ago, almost now. And it was, they wanted to create a utopian community and genuinely did. The whole idea they had was, you know, people are hungering for something positive. So let's form this positive community of folks who are building a society from scratch. And the way we're going to do this is we're going to find a lovely patch of land that's an area rich with wildlife and fish and has good soil for growing. And then we're going to find exactly the right people to fill that land. We're going to find hunters and gardeners and farmers and woodsmen. We're going to include doctors and nurses. We're going to have carpenters. We're going to have every single skill you possibly need. And we're going to make a show about it. And because this is Britain, they might actually have meant that. They wanted to make this show of people starting afresh. And They named the show Eden. It was an attempt to create something different. And the idea they had was this was going to run for years. And this community was actually going to form and exist. And people were going to watch it and be inspired by it. And they wanted it to work. They designed it to work. Which, of course, it didn't. And it's peculiar. I mean, you read about the selection process, and they were so careful to make sure they had every necessary skill set. But the group they formed, the community they formed, soon came apart. Things were a little harder than expected. Even though they shipped in tons of good soil, it was harder to grow than anticipated, and they found that, yes, there were plenty of deer, but they weren't there all the time. And there were plenty of fish, but they weren't there all the time. And it was more difficult than expected, but it wasn't that that seemed to be the big issue. It was that they couldn't figure out what they were doing together. Like, they couldn't figure out how they were supposed to make decisions together. And so, the producers of the show had these secret cameras set up absolutely everywhere so they could watch every last moment of everything that was going on. And mostly what the group was doing for the first several months of filming was endless rounds of circular discussion about every single decision would be second-guessed and re-guessed. And this, the producers realized to their horror, was as exciting as watching a presbytery meeting. I mean, it was just like... And then it got worse because they couldn't make any decisions, and so they got to infighting, and then they got to seeking power over one another, and then a group of hunters said, well, we're the menfolk, and traditionally in these cultures, the men are all in charge, especially the hunter men. And so they said, well, we need to be in charge, and everyone else said, well, no, we want to make decisions collectively, so the hunters all left. And they created their own little hunter bro encampment where they hunted, and that's what they did. And then the crops failed. And then they realized, well, this was sort of an encampment up in the north part of Scotland. And in the winter, it gets cold and it gets very dark for long periods of time, which is, of course, a pleasant way to spend your time. I'm cold, I'm dark, I'm hungry, why am I here? And people began to quit. And people began to cheat. Like, they would go to the fence that they shared with a nearby community and hit people up for cigarettes and whatever else they could get. Come on, just give me something. Any passerby. And one evening, most of the group revolted. They were just so tired of being stuck there that they went and they broke and severed all of the camera connections and marched as a little tiny army of disgruntled utopians to the nearest Scottish pub. And the producers got them back, but the whole spirit of the endeavor was shattered and the show folded. It was an abject failure, this Eden reality show. And it's so strange, because why? I mean, there wasn't a single reason in the world that it shouldn't have worked. The land was okay. People used to live there in those kind of primal things, people who had far fewer skill sets. The abilities that each of those members brought should have been enough, but they weren't. And I think they weren't because even though they had what was needed, they didn't have the gift, the core of what matters, and that was the ability to share a vision together as community. They didn't have a shared goal, and they didn't have a sense of who they were together and how that made them who they were as a person. And I don't think Paul, who wrote a lot about community and life together, would have been all that surprised that this effort at Eden did not succeed. Because Paul knew what mattered. And we hear that from the 12th chapter of Romans today. And Romans, if you remember me talking about it all the way ago in last week, is a letter that has a whole bunch of different perspectives. And mostly it's just incredibly complicated, twists and turns and deep theology, most of which needs to be read through several times before you can parse out where Paul is going with these really complicated sentences, each of which has to be, I mean, not that anyone diagrams sentences anymore, but would have to be diagrammed, and then that diagram would need to have meta-diagram things leading to the other sentence whose word, it's complex stuff. But this isn't. Each of these short, easily comprehensible statements about the moral commitment of Christians moves a little bit past his theologies of salvation and into synopses of what ethically, meaning the thing that gives us integrity, what ethically impacts us as persons and as communities. Paul, who's gone big and gone abstract, staring up at the contrails of his theology, now gives us a grounded, basic, practical answer to the question, how am I as a Christian supposed to live? And how are the communities in which we live meant to be embodiments of Christ's love? And it couldn't be more straightforward. We are to bless always, even those who curse us. We need to live in harmony. We need to live at peace and prioritize that, knowing that God is just and our taking revenge usurps God's justice, and that we need to overcome evil with good. It couldn't be more straightforward. Here, the gospel distilled and implicit in all of it, the requirement that we trust God, and in trusting God, we trust one another, and that sets us free to be both ourselves and healthily together. And that wasn't there in reality television Eden. It didn't matter in the absence of that understanding whether those skills or abilities were there, because they didn't share a sense of the why of their being together. They didn't have that great gift of mutual self-sacrifice, and because it wasn't present for them, things fell apart. And I am sort of a little tempted to go back and watch that show, but only a little bit. Because, you know, like my watching of politics, if I don't really need to see people messing up Eden. I don't need to go to TV for that. I don't need to go to YouTube and watch reruns, because I get plenty of that. Looking at our world and the reality we so often create together. And just like it's like almost inexplicable that that community that had all the skills it needed failed and struggled, it's the same thing looking at human culture and at the mess we make of things and how unnecessary that is. I mean, this little pale blue dot of a world we inhabit, small as it is, has enough for all of us. And we together, with all of the gifts that humans of every culture and people bring, we have the skills and abilities to make sure that all would be fed and sheltered and not no fear. And yet we botch our Eden, and the botching of it is really painfully not different from the disaster that befell the BBC's effort at Eden. You know, why can't we do this? And it's especially hard as someone who follows Jesus. I mean, here we are 50 generations after Jesus brought that path of grace to all of us. Why can't we seem to manage that? And I think honestly, it may have to do with the way we tend to interpret verses like this. Here, Paul giving us the marks of the Christian path. And we'll listen to that, and we hear it maybe not in the ideal way that we should. I mean, last week, Paul told us how we're meant to hear it. We're meant to hear the Christian path as part of our own self-discipline. Verses 1 through 8 that lead right up to verses 9 through 12 say, this is about your own sacrifice. This is you. This has to do with you as the person. You, the one who is hearing this now, are meant to register that. And you're meant to see this as something that shapes your integrity, yours, your integrity. And it's not how you judge others. These demands are not something to be inflicted on everyone around you. Instead, it's meant to be what you hear as a person, what defines your personhood, what makes you a moral agent. It's your duty and your discipline. We don't like to do that. We'd much rather judge others for not doing it as well as they should. We'd much rather snark on Twitter at some big-toothed multimillionaire prosperity gospel preacher because he didn't offer hospitality, rather than finding a way to offer hospitality ourselves. And the snarking's a lot more fun. It really is. But it's not what we're asked to do. We're not supposed to complain about other people not doing. We're meant to see ourselves doing it, and it only works if we do that. It only works if we see it as what gives us our integrity. And again, this is hard, because the speck in our neighbor's eye is just a lot more fun to pay attention to than the log in our own. And yet, still, we have this demand in front of us. Jesus and Paul offering us the path to the kingdom, the path towards the rebuilding of Eden, towards the restoration and promise of humankind. And the reality of that is that an attention to that and our discipline in that simple way is not easy. It's a hard path, as hard as our lifelong work of continually transforming and retransforming and reclaiming ourselves towards the gospel purpose. That's challenging. But that challenge is a reality worth working towards, both each on our own, and then from that foundation, all of us together. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
There is a strong tendency in churches to conflate our skills with our gifts. To say what we're looking for are people's giftednesses. And when we think giftednesses, we think, how are they at accounting? And how do they manage this? Or how are they at that? Or can they handle a riding lawnmower? How are they with a chainsaw? Those are the gifts and graces that God gives us. And those are useful things. They are. But I think when we think of giftedness only in that way, we miss the depth of what is meant to be the gift we all share, which is that all of our lives are meant to be turned to the service of God's kingdom, and all of our skills and all of our abilities are meant to stand blessed in relationship to the gift of
God's love as it's manifest in the Spirit through us. And that's the gift. That's the giftedness. And it's so easy to miss that. I say, well, I'm looking for someone who can write this or do that. And all of those doings and actions and abilities are only given meaning and purpose. They're only given grace by that presence of God's love in our hearts, that one great gift we're all meant to share. And so as you step out into the world that used to be Eden and really very much is not right now, know that while your abilities and skills are needed, what's most needed is that great gift, that sense of God's purpose, that sense of grace and forbearance and mercy that never returns evil for evil. As much as it fun as it might feel at the moment, doesn't do it. But that's what you're giving to the world. So step out into that place that used to be Eden, and with the blessings of the Spirit, do what you can to make it a little bit more what Christ wants it to be and what God made it to be. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.